Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. The fads come and the fads go, don't they? And the church is no exception. In fact, the church has become really one of the biggest examples of, let's just speak for a moment, if we could, with caution about the church as an organization. One of the biggest examples of an organization in the whole social fabric of our world that has succumbed to the fads of today. About every 12, 18 months, a new one comes along, the old one goes out, and the church jumps on the bandwagon each and every time. Whether it is the Way Down Workshop or the Prayer of Jabez or the Purpose-Driven Life or 40 Days of Purpose or Becoming Contagious Christians or Churches, they come by different names, and they come and they go, and they are the fads. Why is the church today so fad-driven? We're going to talk about the fad-driven church tonight on Issues Etc. It's Sunday night, November the 13th, and Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. Our phone number, you join us with a question or a comment. I'd love to hear from you on the fad-driven church. Do you think this is a good phenomenon or a bad one? 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address for you. issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest this evening to talk about the fad-driven church, Pastor Gregory Olms. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. Greg, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here. Thank you, Todd.
You're a parish pastor. So
right.
How tempting is it to jump on the bandwagon when these fads come rolling by?
Well, it can be very tempting, I think. Just speaking from my own experience, and you know, the temptation can come, you know, from inside a pastor. You know, I mean, everybody wants to be successful, and pastors like everybody else, sinners, has certain vanity and pride, and you know, you end up measuring yourself against other pastors, and that can get to you. And also, you want to, if you want to have success, outwardly defined, you want to rise up the ecclesiastical ladder or at least have the respect of others. You know, it's very tempting to try to jump on one of these and get more numbers in your church or more vitality or whatever it is, so you look better in the eyes of others and that you feel better about yourself. It's a big temptation, I think.
Does the pressure also come from outside? From the congregation at times?
Oh, sure. I mean, you get folks in your congregation and they mean well. People that are coming from the corporate world, maybe from their own jobs, and they can bring that kind of mindset in there into the meetings and into the planning. It's a very American thing to evaluate your church, your congregation by numbers, if you want, or by the number of programs, or just to go about things in a program way, and that kind of leads to these fads. And yeah, you get pressure to produce and from within the congregation as well. Sure.
Let's talk about that concept of success, because that seems to be the basis for the popularity of many of the fads that come and go in the church. How does God's word define success, as opposed to how we often define success in the church?
Well, you know, I would say it's pretty clear in God's word that success is defined scripturally as, I would substitute the word faithfulness. I mean, success in the scriptural model of being a pastor or being a congregation, or being the church in a place, is being faithful to God's word and to go about being a pastor or being a congregation in the ways in which God has revealed to us that he wants us to do it, for the reasons that he wants us to do it. And so success is being faithful to him and believing and trusting that God's going to take care of the church and we're going to trust in him and stick to his word in these things.
Do you think that the fads that come and go in the church, be they the ones that congregations glom onto or the ones that pastors maybe in their own professional life get involved in. Do you think that they represent a temptation or, in fact, represent an actual compromise in Christian faithfulness?
Well, I think you have to separate maybe the concept of faddishness, you know, the whole idea or the whole phenomenon that these fads just come and go so quickly and everybody does them and then they go and you're on to the next thing and you're lurching from one thing to another from the fads themselves. I mean, most of the fads, frankly, are compromises. I mean, you have to examine the content. I mean, there could be fads that are scripturally, you know, correct or faithful. You know, I haven't seen too many. But then there's that whole matter of faddishness. I mean, the whole idea of just lurching from one program to the next, there's no stability, there's no, you know, repetition of teaching and being grounded and rooted over time in God's Word. Just, you know, you go from one thing to the next. So, yeah, it's a temptation, and most often it's a compromise, whether it's the very, you know, how it goes about or the content itself.
For many Christians, the fads that come and go, they may not see them as fads. They just see them as kind of the normal warp and woof of Christianity. For them, they can't imagine church. They can't imagine their Christian life as anything other than a track record, kind of a long track record of one thing after another that we've tried, we've done it, it's had some success or maybe not, and then we've gone on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. What does that do to a Christian and to the life of a congregation over time, Pastor Olms?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and because, you know, how we go about being the church forms our faith, forms the faith of the people in the church, in the congregation, forms the faith especially of the young people. And if that's all they know is just one thing to another, then it, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to answer the question other than say, what does that do to a person's faith? That is, you know, what's his picture of Christ? What's his picture of God if, you know, every 3 or 4 months it's off to another thing? And you know, where is the stability, and where is that, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, that Christ I can turn to who's always the same, who's always secure in his grace and mercy? And I think it just warps the picture that people have, and just, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but it's an excellent question.
You know, I think about this phrase that I believe Paul coins in the New Testament, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Can that, in any real sense, survive in a fad-driven church?
No, it can't, because in a fad-driven church, that faith that is once delivered to the saints just, you know, is ignored in most cases to really pander to, you know, most of these fads are simply trying to be popular, and once they become popular, then that's the very reason for adopting them. It often is because, well, my goodness, this is what people want. This is what people want today, now, you know, the faith once delivered to the saints is, well, that was, you know, just those very words, the way that it's phrased, is just makes it irrelevant and past, and that's not speaking to our needs today. And no, I think it's very hard for that kind of worldview or way of going about things to survive in the kind of atmosphere where it's fad driven and novelty driven.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk a bit about those things. We've discussed a warped concept of success in the church. We're going to talk about some of the fads that come and go. What drives them? Could it be that we are simply bored with God's Word? That the faith once delivered to the saints is now considered passé? What does the word relevant mean when the word relevant means we have to keep jumping from lily pad to lily pad, fad to fad, never returning again to the same thing twice? I want to hear from you on this subject, our listeners. Do you think that the fad-drivenness of the church is a boon to the church? Is this the way things ought to be? A good thing? Or are you as concerned as I am? 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Do you attend a fad-driven church? Give us a call and tell us about it. 1-800-730-2727. And we have an in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Greg Olms is our guest. We're talking about the fad-driven church. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and author of an article in the latest Touchstone magazine titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. We'll be right back. The Lutheran Reformation began when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses at the church door in Wittenberg. The Reformation began there, but it certainly didn't end there. For the next six decades, Luther and the other reformers compiled documents, confessions, and statements of faith. We call these the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. This book is $20.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. The number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Concordia, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Christian symbolism in the Chronicles of Narnia. Christian apologist and regular guest Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. The Chronicles of Narnia movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, debuts early in December. So how does the White Witch take over Narnia? Why couldn't Edmund, one of these children in the book, why couldn't he resist temptation? And why did Aslan the Lion have to die? We'll talk about that Christian symbolism in the Chronicles of Narnia next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, click the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure to find out about a relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. Just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to LCMS World Relief by calling toll-free 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. It's Christ-centered, cross-focused relief, LCMS World Relief. Pastor Greg Olms is our guest. We're talking about the fad-driven church. All right, let's deal with a few of the other perhaps symptoms that go along with the fad-drivenness in the church and with pastors as individuals. What about this sense of competition that seems to exist in the church today? We are competing for customers? What's going on here, Pastor Olms?
Yes, well, I mean, that's a very, another good a good question, a good topic. And it's part of our sinful nature, I think, that creeps in and is encouraged by our culture and by this success-driven mentality that's creeped into the church, is that, yeah, we treat people who come to our churches, who might be coming to our churches as customers, and then that sets us up as competitors, where we're, you know, we're trying to snare these people in, and then that leads to these fads and to the, you know, to rearranging the everything that we do to in order to attract customers and keep customers and please them and find out what they want and what's the newest thing that's going to excite them and get them. And then rather than, you know, pastors together praying for one another and searching God's word for the truth and what the church is about, then, you know, we end up being jealous of one another, and it can lead to all sorts of things, discord, local circuits and areas. It's a real problem.
Are we just bored with God's word, and therefore the fads look so attractive to us, the church?
Yeah, I think in the churches that I've seen that have become fad-driven, and, you know, others' experience might be different, but I've seen pastors, and this is just really disgraceful, it's the pastors who get bored. I mean, the pastors get bored of teaching Bible study in the same old way, same old scripture, same old doctrine, you know, and they're the ones who latch on to this, I think. I think a lot of it is pastor-driven within the congregations from what I've seen, and they do. Unfortunately, you know, they seem at least to get bored with God's word and want to do something exciting and different, you know.
So let's pursue that for a moment, if we could. How much of this is really a pastoral issue? That is, having to do with pastors in their congregations, their faithfulness and their fad-drivenness, as opposed to the church is just crying out for these things, and the pastors say, well, we've got to give the people what they want.
Well, my opinion is, my experience has been that it's the former. It's the pastors who really, you know, to use some pejorative terms, foist this really upon the congregations. What I've seen is, you know, pastors see themselves as, you know, begin to see themselves as leaders or visionaries or whatever it is, and then you know, they pick up these fads and they say, well, this is how, you know, we're going to be successful. This is how we're going to grow as a church. And everybody wants, you know, those are tempting words. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to have a growing church. And these fads then are presented as the way to achieve that end. And I think it's pastor-driven. I really do.
What's the difference between, use the term visionary there, what's the difference between pastor as a visionary and pastor as a servant?
Well, a visionary, as I've experienced in it, as I've seen it presented, a visionary pastor, well, you know, presents, it's his job to think up where the church is going to go next as a congregation. What are we going to do as a congregation? How are we going to grow? What steps are we going to take? And he'll present a vision of what the church will be in this many years or whatever, and then he tries to get the congregation to get behind that vision and then achieve this. Pastor as a servant, a pastor as a servant tries to, enable people within the congregation and the congregation as a whole to be healthy, to be whole. Pastor doesn't exercise authority, but enables other people to live in a healthy manner. There's a whole raft of books and a whole philosophy behind servant leadership, which in servant leadership is rightly understood can be profitable if it's understood in a scriptural way. But servant leadership can also be sort of a secular philosophy which, you know, there's no authority, and the only thing that a pastor does is to help people in certain areas of their life to become happier. Those are two models that are out there, visionary, and they're different, but they've become popular in some areas and come and gone and come back and so forth.
So how, if the goal here, and you said in and of itself the goal is not necessarily wrong, if the goal here is that the church would grow, that the church would grow, how does God grow his church?
Well, God grows his church through the word. And, God grows us through the words and through the word and through the tools that he has given us is how God works in the church. Now, we have to be careful. I hope I didn't, you know, I mean, the church may grow numerically at a certain time and place, and it may not. Again, success in a scriptural model is determined by faithfulness, and by faithfulness is how God works in the church, and that's through his word, his sacraments, the instruments and the tools where God has promised us. You know, that's where he's going to be. That's where he's going to work. That's where we can be sure that God's at work. And so that's how God grows the church, and that's where we as congregations and pastors are to focus on the things God has given us to use to grow the church and to be about the work of forgiveness and proclaiming the gospel that God has given to the church.
So with only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Alms, before we go to our next break, does a lack of pastoral discernment regarding whether or not a fad really meets the criteria of scriptural faithfulness, does that damage the people's ability to discern truth from error?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's disastrous. I mean, if a pastor can't discern truth from error, you know, the congregation's in rough shape. It is a laity's job then to stand up and say, you know, this is not what the scriptures teach. But that's what a pastor is called to do. You know, that's his job as a shepherd to keep the poison away from the sheep and feed them with healthful food, not poisonous food.
We're talking about the fad-driven church. Pastor Gregory Alms is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. You can read this article under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, as well as an article that I've written titled The Fad-Driven Church. It's right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, when we come back, let's hear from you on The Fad-Driven Church. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call, and we do have a few free phone lines. 1-800-730-2727 and our in-studio email address issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fakincher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues Etc. But what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthe, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Dr. Larry Rast, professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Rast, what is the study of historical theology?
What we're talking about with historical theology is the faithful confession ongoing through the church by people that Christ has called. That is to say, we're not just talking about abstract doctrines detached from life. What we see are the people of God whom he himself has brought into the church through holy baptism, through the preaching of the word, people making the good confession of Christ through time and encouraging us with their example to remain firm and steadfast in our own confession, even in the present, both as we speak to ourselves as people of God in the church, and as we take that message of Christ crucified and risen again out into the world. Historical theology is not just a bunch of names and dates and fact. It's the study of Christ being faithful to his promises and seeing him fulfill the promise that he will never leave the church orphaned or forsaken.
So how is the study of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
It binds together the various disciplines. In theology, generally speaking, we think of four chief disciplines. We think of exegesis, the study of the scriptures. We think of systematic theology, the dogma of the church. We think of pastoral theology, the practice of theology. And in historical theology, we see these things all bound together. And what we do here at Concordia Theological Seminary is not isolate any one of these things from another, but rather see the holistic work of confessing and working and testifying to the grace of God in Christ Jesus permeating all these things. So, for example, as a church historian, I teach the history of Lutheranism in America. And as such, what I show is how faithful pastors and people through time have taken the message of the Scripture, confessed the dogma or the doctrine that's in that Scripture, and applied it in the practical lives of believers and in confession and proclamation through missions. What we see, therefore, again, is not history as a collection of facts and data, but literally the ongoing work of Christ through His church as the word is preached and the sacraments are administered.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, or to schedule an on-campus visit, call toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit them on the web www.ctsfw.edu. Well, folks, there is a place where they are training pastors to be, training them and teaching them to resist the temptation, that temptation to jump on the bandwagon when the newest, latest, most surefire, easy to do and guaranteed fad comes to the church. That place is Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Many of the best guests you hear here on Issues Etc., Dr. Larry Rast, Dr. Arthur Just, Carl Fakencher, are members of the Christ-Centered Cross-Focused Faculty there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or you can find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their number again, 1-800-481-2155. We're talking about the fad-driven church. Pastor Greg Alms is our guest. Greg, let's talk about, in your Touchstone article, you contrast two things. Kind of the surefire method that every fad in the church seems to offer the pastor and the congregation, as opposed to what you call the cross of uncertainty. What do you mean by the cross of uncertainty?
Well, it's, you know, the contrast is with this the certainty that most fads and paradigms and patterns that are offered today, you know, offer a certainty of numbers, that things are measurable, quantifiable, that you know to use this program and your numbers will go up, and then you focus on attendance and offerings and so forth. Whereas being a pastor in the scriptural model, I think, is a life of faith. That is, God has given us these tools to use, so to speak, not a great word. He's given us His word, His sacraments to use. He has promised to use those, and we use them. And we don't always have results. And so that cross of uncertainty is faith, that is, believing that that God works through His means, that He has promised to work through, and we don't always see results, but we trust in God and that His Word is going to do what He says it's going to do.
There is, and you need to respond to this, Pastor Alms, there is kind of a catch-22 defense of the fad in the fad-driven church, and it goes something like this. Look, we are growing. We are meeting with measurable, quantifiable success. We have the numbers. Therefore, we must be faithful. We wouldn't be growing if we weren't being faithful. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to it?
Well, I would say, first of all, that you know my initial response to that kind of arguments, and I've heard them, and you you hear that a lot, is, you know, it's kind of a smart aleck response, but where is that in Scripture? I mean, when God doesn't promise us success, he doesn't promise us great numbers. There's no promise in the Scriptures that when we're faithful to preaching Christ and his cross that we're going to be popular. And even the models that you see or the patterns in Scripture, Jesus himself, I mean, you know, was rejected by an awful lot of people. And while there are stories of success and there are stories of rejection, and there's simply no promises that in the Scriptures that say to us, you know, if you're having lots of numbers and lots of success and growing, that means you're faithful. It's just, it's not there. God calls us to be faithful and makes no promises about our success. You know, he calls the, St. Paul calls the cross foolishness to the Greeks, you know. But we preach that message and believe in that message.
Let's go to the phones. Folks, I want to hear from you. Are you burnt out on the fad-driven church? Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, or maybe you prefer the fad-driven church, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Greg Alms is our guest. Let's talk first with Christy, who listens in Lawrence, Kansas on KSCV. Christy, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Christy, what's your question or comment?
I started out with a question because I tuned in late, and it was, what would you define as a fad? But I think after listening for this time, I've got that figured out. But one of the comments that you made was that, or you asked, Pastor Greg, was, are we bored with God's Word? And in listening to his response, mine is, I don't think that we as a congregation or as a church body are bored in any stretch of the imagination with God's Word. On the contrary, I think that we're very hungry for God's Word, that we're spiritually starved. And I think that people right now are more spiritually open than they've ever been before. I think that there's a lack of qualified Bible teachers in the church body, and as a result of that, our pastors are overworked, and that's where these programs, whether you call it a bad fad, I call it a handy tool, come into play in the local congregations, and they provide a lot of really good information and challenges to the church body. They provide an organized, an organized, structured approach to personal Bible study. It gets you in the habit of doing a Bible study every day, you know, and there's nothing that can be said that's bad about getting in the Word every day.
Christy,
and if
thank
it takes one of those programs to do it, then I think that, you know, it's good. I do think you have to be careful with them.
Christy, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, let's respond to a couple of things she mentioned there. First of all, if it gets people studying the Bible, opening up their Bible, it can't be a bad thing. Your response?
Well, I mean, you know, on the surface, sure. I mean, getting into the Word, as Christy said, is a good thing. What's needed is discernment. To check these things out, to look at them, and to test them against the pattern of sound teaching which is in the Scriptures. So many of these fads are simply deficient. I mean, they're wrong. I mean, they teach wrong things. And getting into the Word means getting into what the Word really teaches and not distorting the Word. So, yeah, it is a good thing to be in the Word. Anything, that word, anything or whatever, that gets us into the Bible or gets people into church can often be a default to, just any old thing. And if it's any old thing, oftentimes the quality, the biblical, scriptural quality goes down. If we're just willing to accept anything that gets us into Bible study, you have to test it against God's Word. That's a very serious responsibility the church has, and especially pastors.
Well, I'm thinking about one of the fads that, I mean, this is ancient history in terms of church fads. I'm thinking about the Way Down Workshop that was so very popular all across denominational lines in the church. And it had people opening their Bibles to study the Bible, but in order to find, led by kind of some very aberrant teachings of the leader of Way Down, and in order to find something that was completely foreign to Christianity, kind of making Christianity about the ultimate obedience to God along with the very clever weight loss program.
Yeah.
Is that what the Bible is? Did Jesus come so we could fit into a size 4?
Right. Well, and you know, and simply put, I mean, every program that's going to come along, every fad, everybody's going to say, you know, this is what the Bible teaches, you know, and they'll bring out a Bible passage or two or a bunch of them, but that doesn't mean that they're scriptural or that they are teaching what the Bible actually teaches. I mean, rolling out a few Bible passages or explaining Bible passages in a certain way doesn't mean that they agree with the message of the Scripture or the pattern of sound words that the Scriptures themselves present. So, you know, just saying that it gets us into the Bible is hardly adequate.
A quick call from Mike in Glen Ellyn, California. He listens on KFAX. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. What I just wanted to say was that most of the community churches here are teaching that purpose-driven life. And I believe the same thing as the pastor there was talking about, that as long as if it doesn't come from the Bible, you know, then it's not true. And I've always firmly believed that God put that there for a purpose. You know, he took and had protected those scrolls and his word, you know, for us to be able to read and to teach others and everything. So that was my comment.
Mike, thank you very much. And we'll get the response from our guest, Pastor Greg Alms, on the other side of this break. We're talking about the fad-driven church. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Two free phone lines, 1-800-730-2727. If you are looking for, you know, we're really talking here about some of these fads actually claim to be a new reformation. That 40 Days of Purpose fad, it claims to be a new reformation in the church. Let's talk about the first reformation, the original one. What if there were an official record of what the reformers believed and taught and thought and preached? There is. It's called the Lutheran Confessions, and it's our Issues Etc. book of the month for November. It's called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. You can browse before you buy this book of the month at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. You can also back order, because it is on back order, Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. It's our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November. The toll-free number again to order, 1-800-325-3040. When you call, mention Issues, Etc. and our book of the month for November. When we come back, your phone calls, your email, your questions and your comments on the fad-driven church. Pastor Gregory Alms is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He has authored, in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine, an article titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be right back.
The niche specialty of LCMS World Relief, along with disasters getting 95% of the dollar given to aid victims, we are determined that that aid be very closely connected with local Christians, local congregations, so the connection between Christ and caring for people is one that remains together. That's who Christ was. He loved people, word and deed. That's what the church does, I'm convinced, on the basis of the New Testament.
That's Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief. For more information, look for the LCMS World Relief logo on our website, issuesetc.org, or call 314-996-1683. LCMS World Relief.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. ...1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal, or use that number to make a tax-deductible year-end gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. The number again, 1-800-737-0172. No gift is too small. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Pastor Holmes, before the break, we had Mike on the line, and he said he knows of a lot of the churches in his area doing 40 Days of Purpose and the Purpose-Driven Life, and he says the problem is they don't base it on God's Word. Well, you know, Rick Warren in that book quotes the Bible. How could he quote the Bible, and this kind of goes to what you were saying before the break, how could it quote the Bible and still be unscriptural?
Yes, right, and I think that's a crucial point. It was what I was thinking about during the break. I think Mike was saying how important it is to that we have God's Word, that it's been preserved. But all of these fads, the destructive ones, they're filled with God's Word, so to speak. I mean, there's Bible verses all over them, and they claim to be scriptural. And I think it's please understand when I say it's not enough simply to have the Bible in your program or your book or whatever. When you examine something to see whether it's scriptural, it's not just, well, oh, the Bible's in it, it must be okay. It's, you know, what is the Bible about? What is the message of the Bible? Is the message of this program or book or whatever, is it in tune with what the church is saying and the core message of the scripture and what the scripture is about? That's sort of what I'm when I say the pattern of sound teaching, the overall message of the scripture and in its particulars, and that's what I mean by scriptural, not just that it has biblical content somehow that we string together some Bible passages, but does it agree with the message of the Bible as a whole?
Well, I think about Jesus when he confronts the devil in the wilderness during the time of his temptation. The very temptations of the devil come in the form of Bible quotation.
Right, right, exactly. You know, and the devils believe, they know the Bible and tremble. So, you know, that's hardly an accurate test or a high hurdle to meet if something has biblical content. I mean, it has to be rightly interpreted according to the whole scope of the scriptures.
Let's talk to Mike, who calls from Overland Park, Kansas, and he also listens on KCCV. Mike, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. I appreciate the topic that you and your guest are speaking about tonight. And I wanted to say that I'm a regular supporter of Issues, et cetera, and I say that to encourage anyone else who's listening to, you know, that they might consider doing the same.
Thanks, Mike.
This is a very interesting topic. Last week I attended a screening of a documentary, and the premise of the documentary was that Jesus never existed. And afterwards, they were having a question and answer session with some of the very liberal theologians from around the Kansas City area, you know, concerning that premise. And one of the things they did in the film was they basically mocked Christians. They really provided no evidence whatsoever. And one of the ways they did was they mentioned the pre-trib rapture bunch, and they had a field day with that fad, if you will. One of the things they mentioned was that that they interviewed a pastor, a pre-trib rapture pastor, who basically said that major airlines are now considering making sure that they have at least one pilot on board who is not a Christian, so that in case the rapture occurs, the plane can be landed safely. Then they stood out in front of a Billy Graham crusade and interviewed people going into a Billy Graham crusade with very simple theological questions, and they basically just mocked Christianity in general. So what I wondered if you could comment on was, you know, the modern evangelical fad-driven church has discouraged theological study and made Christians in general easy prey for secular humanists. I wonder if you could comment on that.
That's a very interesting observation, Mike, and thank you for listening, for supporting, and for giving us a call. Pastor Holmes.
Yes, and I agree. Very interesting comments, and I agree. You know, the simplicity and the lemming-like approach that all of the Christians do, go after these things, does give a picture of the church in the larger culture that is, you know, easy prey for mocking, and doesn't provide an attractive picture for people who want theological and intellectual depth. It may appeal to these fads to people, but for a short time, and be wildly popular. But for those people, and I think it's the people who are really searching for Christ, those who are really truly unchurched and really grappling with the complexities of life and their own sinfulness in the end, you know, these things just turn them off and they're pushed away rather than being drawn in by a serious presentation of what the Bible really teaches.
Let's talk with another Mike, this one in Arkansas, and he listens on XM Radio. Mike, welcome. Mike,
hello.
Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Oh, this is Travis. Travis on XM.
Hi, Travis. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. I just called in for a comment on the fad-driven church. I don't like it particularly, personally. Somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth one time if he read the newspaper, if he thought it was a sin or whatever. He told him that, no, he don't read the newspaper. He didn't think it was a sin, but it just simply took away time he could be in the Word. And I know so many of my Christian friends that they spend so much time on fads. They'll spend up to an hour a day on purpose-driven life and have meetings to talk about it, but may not even crack their Bible open. If they do, they're not in the Word as much as they are on this fad. And I just think that's twisted. I think it should be the other way, that they're, you know, the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. They should be in that Word, reading scriptures for the hour or more, and maybe 10 minutes or so on a tool that a book somebody wrote or something.
Travis, thank you very much. Pastor Holmes, your comment on Travis's call?
Yes, well, I think he makes a valid point, and that is that these fads can take our focus away from Christ in the scriptures, and they become whole industries devoted basically to perpetrating or to continuing the fad, and then we don't focus on the message of the scripture and what the scripture really has to tell us. We're absorbed in these other things, which have the effect of drawing us away from Christ and in the scriptures.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, November the 13th. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and to your email in the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. I see two free phone lines. You can jump in at 1-800-730-2727. The conversation on the fad-driven church continues in the next hour. We will be giving away a book by Oz Guinness called Prophetic Untimeliness, A Challenge to the Idol of Relevance, to the listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour on the fad-driven church. 1-800-730-2727 or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now you can hear the next hour, not on the radio, but only on the internet. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click listen online and you'll be able to hear the next hour and participate. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Those phone lines are full now. If you get a busy signal, keep trying. We'll be freeing them up right as the next hour begins. 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. So your pastor goes away for a conference, and he comes back with a bunch of new ideas and maybe a program or two that he would like to try in the church. He's talked with other pastors. Surefire success. He can tell you stories and show you testimonials of how this new program, this new idea has brought people into other churches. And they've grown by this percentage or that percentage, and it's all pretty well guaranteed. All we got to do is just do it. And, you know, this isn't going to last forever. And then maybe next year, 2 years later, he goes off to another conference and he comes back with another bunch of new ideas and another program or two. And just like the last one, surefire success. All we got to do is just jump on the bandwagon. A measure of success that has more to do with results in numbers than is this faithful to God's word? Is this what God's word would have us study for? Does this new fad show us Christ for sinners, the cross, in stark clarity, so that those new people coming into the church receive something more than just the fad? Namely, forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.